Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Hello, everyone, over the five-star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards, and we're going to have a nice chill week here this week. We obviously got a lot to talk about, you know, Marigold heading into the Dreamstar Grand Prix Finals this Saturday. Stardom had a bunch of shows to go over and have a big Cork and Hall show as well this Saturday. We will review the big matches from Wrestle Princess 5, including a great main event between Miyu Watanabe and Rhea Mizunami. We'll also preview the Sendai Girls' upcoming weekend, and I will provide my review on the Queen of Villains show from Netflix. I can't wait to talk about it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. First up, we are going to go to Marigold here. I think the Dreamstar Grand Prix has been an absolute home run this year in terms of the goals set out by this promotion and for these wrestlers to grow along the way. I continuously say this because I think it's needed to be said. The Dreamstar isn't just about establishing a tournament or establishing a first winner. It is about the growth of the roster as a whole. You're going to watch so many of these wrestlers come out of this tournament better than they went into it. And I think that's the best part of it. They had three shows this past weekend that I'll highlight. But if you want to hear my full reviews for each of those shows, go to youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. I've reviewed every single show up until this point. Day of reviews. It's been a blast. And I got more content coming down the pipeline here. So I encourage you to subscribe if you haven't. I guess I'll make this announcement now. I'll make more announcements in time as I put together the content. But I will officially be starting a new series on there, and that series won't have an end. That series will be the Joshi Rewind series, watching the Queen of Villains, and I'll talk about this more later on, but watching that series has just absolutely inspired me to watch, to read, to learn about this amazing era that it covers, from Dump Matsumoto to the Crush Gals to Jackie Sato and the Beauty Pair overall, Jaguar Yokota, Devil Masami. I just want to dive into all of it. So I thought, you know what? Along the way, as I learn, why not do a Joshi Rewind series to review certain matches along the way? I'll be hitting a lot of matches from the series itself. I think it's a good way to go hand in hand, but that's mostly it. I'm just really excited. So if you're interested in more of my content, youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. The Joshi Rewind is on its way, and the Marigold Dreamstar Grand Prix 2024 series is coming to an end this weekend. I will be reviewing the final on that channel. I will be reviewing the final next week as well, but if you want my quickest review, that's the place to go. Now, let's get to this past week, as there's a lot of stats and stuff to get through here. Obviously, we have scenarios. We have everything you really need to know regarding this tournament. I think when you look at how it is all broken down, it is very exciting. And it makes the final day exciting. So We'll quickly go through the results for all three shows, and I'll just highlight the match of the show for each. So the first show was on the 20th. Nagisa Nozaki defeated Chika Goto in Dream League action to move to 5 points. Miku Anno defeated Kazuna Tanaka to move to 7 points. Nanai Takahashi defeated Chiaki to move to 8 points. Sari defeated Misa Matsui to move to 6 points. Utami Hayashishita and got the big win over... Sorry, Sari moved to 7 points. Utami Hayashishita defeated Natsumi Shizuki to move to 6. And Koki Amari pulled off the major upset, defeating Mirai and moving to 6 points. That was the match of the night from that show. The best Koki performance I have ever seen. If there's any major victory from this tournament, I don't think any gets bigger than the win or the growth of Koki. I think Koki is such an intriguing wrestler. How do you develop her as a talent? Because obviously the look and the natural charisma is there. She reminds me a lot of what I saw in Unagi Sayaka back when she had joined Stardom. Like, there was just a natural ability there that screamed the potential of becoming a champion. And you watch Koki here, and it's very, very clear that Marigold is investing in this wrestler. They're investing in her talent. And, you know, I ask myself, how far can she go? Can her skill set match up with the push, match up with the potential? And after this match, I walked away saying, yeah, it can. She has eased her approach. Less is more for some wrestlers. Less is more for Koki Amari. She hits big boots after big boots. This match was big boots and chops. Big boots and chops. It was simplified, but simplified to the best possible way, right? You're not watching this match and looking for Koki to, you know, start hitting shooting star presses or anything. She is a very simple based wrestler, a grounded based wrestler. But if she's going to hit big boots and bring a fire to her, that is going to bring her a long way. And ultimately, she shocked Mariah in the end and got the win. One of the best matches of Koki's career, I would argue the best. And it is setting up for a very exciting final night when she takes on Utami Hayashishita. Now we'll move to day 6 of tournament action here. In the Star League, Mai Sakurai defeated Chiaki to move to 8 points. In the Dream League, Koki Amari defeated Nagisa Nozaki to move to 8 points and setting herself up for a potential block win on the final night. Sari defeated Kazuna Tanaka to get to 9 points. And Mirai got to 7 points by defeating Victoria Yuzuki. I thought Sari versus Kazuna Tanaka was very good. There was an appreciation there on behalf of Sari that I find very noticeable, because it is we know that Kazuna kind of looks up to Sari, and Sari has taken a liking to her. Sari has had her on Sariism Chapter 2 in the past. This is someone who she likes, and I think you saw that in this match. There was a lot of comfort for Kazuna, which I've been looking for, because I think Kazuna is someone who is going to be this incredible underdog, and seeing her be able to shine in a match like this against someone at the capability or at the skill set of Sari is very important for her future. So this was a nice win for Sari and probably the best match of the show. And then we'll get to the Cork and Hall show, which was a great show once again. featuring what I thought was the match of the tournament, but here we go. Misa Matsui earned her first win of the tournament by defeating Kazuna Tanaka. Bozilla moved to 8 points by defeating Chiaki. Sari, who had to go to Seedling later that day to face Unagi Sayaka with the Beyond the Sea Championship on the line, she went to a 15-minute time limit draw with Hinai Takahashi, moving her to 10 points and Hinai to 9, bringing them both into the conversation to win the league on the final night of the tournament. This match was incredible. This match is why you listen to Sari and you listen to what inspires her and what drives her in this tournament. She wants to prove everyone that she is not only the ace, but Marigold can't live up to her aura, can't live up to her level. And this is the first real challenge it feels like that she's gotten where, oh, okay, this is different. And she's fighting Hinai in this match. And this is very different for Sari. It's been a while since I've seen a match where Sari isn't the dominant hand of the match. That's what Nanai's role was. And it made for this great mix of Sari having to be on the offensive. And the crowd was sensational for this match. They were loud. They were boisterous. They were into it. And that's really all you look for when it comes to these tournament matches. And for 15 minutes, they beat the piss out of each other. Like, plain and simple, that is what they did. This match was one of the best tournament matches in all of wrestling this year. I'm putting it on the same level as Starlight Kid versus Saya Kamatani, Mayu Iwatani versus Natsupoi, just in terms of the Joshi tournaments. I've watched a lot of the G1. I'd put it on the same levels of, like, the Takeshita Goto match. Like, that's how great this was. If you love Joshi wrestling, this is a match you go out of your way to see. Just a tremendous 15 minutes between two absolute top-of-the-line wrestlers. Sari, I keep saying it, but I'll say it again. That is my wrestler of the year. Just an incredible, incredible year for her continues here. Nagisa Nozaki moved to 7 points, defeating Victoria Yuzuki. Natsumi Shizuki shocked the world, defeating Mirai and eliminating Mirai from the tournament. We'll get to that in a second, but she has eliminated Mirai, the person I picked to win, in shocking fashion. I didn't see that coming, but I think that's the beauty of the Dream Star overall. It feels unpredictable in that you don't know what the final's going to be. Right now, you know, gun to my head, I'm going Utami and Bozilla. And maybe that should have been my pick from the beginning. But I really thought maybe we'd shake it up with Mirai. But Utami winning the first tournament follows in the first and second wins of the five-star when Yuzuki Aikawa and Hinai one, you know, like, there is a trend to follow here of putting your ace in the big spot and having them win and setting up a match between her and Sari, the biggest match Marigold has. So that brings us to the semi-main event. That brings us to Chika Goto defeating Koki Amari to move to 2 points, keeping Koki at 8, setting up Utami versus Koki as the potential block decider on the final day. Miku Aono and Mai Sakurai went to a 15-minute time limit draw, a match I expected to go to a draw because that is setting up a United National title match. And then in the main event, which I thought was the second best match of the night, one of the best of the tournament, Utami Hayashishita defeated Nori to move to 8 points and keep herself in the Dream League. So let's do some tournament math and set up the final day. So in the Dream League, Utami Hayashishita, Nori, and Koki Amari all tied at 8 points. That is it. Those are the only three that have a shot at winning. It is likely, unless Nori wins her match against, I believe, Victoria Yuzuki, Nori is likely to eliminate Koki with a win, which could mean Utami potentially gets that win there. So that's one thing to look towards in the Dream League. We'll go over the card in a second here. Then in the Star League, Sari, Nanai Takahashi, Mai Sakurai, and Bozilla all in contention. Sari's got 10 points, Nanai and Mai Sakurai have 9, and Bozilla has 8. Miku Anno also has 8, but statistically, mathematically, she is out. Then Chiaki with 2, Misa Matsui with 2, and Kazuna Tanaka with 0. So let's get to the final night of matches here. It is here on the Dream League. You have Victoria Yuzuki versus Nori. That has potential to be very important. As Yuzuki upset would not shock me to set up Koki versus Utami, winner takes all. Natsumi Shozuki versus Chika Goto. There's no stakes there. Mirai versus Nagisa Nozaki. I thought for sure that would have stakes, especially with both of them at 7 points, just 1 point back of the leaders. But mathematically, it does not work in that fashion due to Koki's numbers. And then you have a Tommy Hayashishita versus Koki Mari. I expect that to be a winner-takes-all match. Probably the main event of the Dream League aspect, right? The Rossi in the five-star finals has done Dream League first, or he did Red Stars block first, then Blue Stars, and vice versa to do it in that fashion. I kind of expect that to be similar here. I could see Dream League go first. Utami and Koki be the big match there. I had that circled for, you know, the longest time as the likely big win for Koki, but along the way things change, right? She beats Mirai instead, and I think that sets up Utami to be in the driver's seat to take this block and ultimately the tournament in the end. And the reason I think she takes the tournament in the end is due to the fact that Sari versus Bozilla is on the show. So let's go over the Star League. You have Kazuna Tanaka versus Chiaki, right? That does not have any stake, though. I do think Kazuna gets her first win of the tournament there. Then you have Mai Sakurai versus Misa Matsui. To me, Misa Matsui spells potential upset for Mai Sakurai, right? The spoiler on the final night. Because you look at that, you think Misa Matsui should at least be above Kazuna and Chiaki, even if it's by a singular win. So that's kind of how I'm feeling there. And then it comes down to Miku Anno versus Nanai Takahashi, a win for Nanai, obviously major. And then Sari versus Bozilla could potentially be winner takes all as well. However, Miku Anno needs to defeat Nanai in order for Bozilla to have a chance, because Bozilla's at 8, Nanai's at 9. A draw or win for Nanai advances her over Bozilla for sure. And then that brings us to Sari, who enters the show undefeated, 4-0-2, facing Bozilla. I think Bozilla is winning this match, and it will set up a world title match between the two. But it also, to me, eliminates the idea of Bozilla winning, because you don't give away the big win against the world champion just for the title match to happen a couple months down the line. So that's why I think Bozilla advances. She faces Utami in the finals, and Utami overcomes and wins the first ever Dream Star Grand Prix. But I can't wait for this show. It's on live Saturday on Wrestle Universe. Everyone, go out of your way to check it out. I know I will. I'm very much looking forward to it. I cannot wait. Now we move over to the world of Stardom. Stardom had a number of shows this weekend, or this past week overall. There's just a few things to touch on within this. I don't think any of this is a major review. A lot of it's just house shows, right? They're back on the house show loop. I did think that from the 19th, Meltier versus Starlight Kid and Su Suzuki was a great match and really showcased what Tam and Suzu is looking like, right? Heading into the big final show or big final match next weekend. I think that these two look great against one another. It's the best Suzu's looked. And I think Tam's like such a good preview tag wrestler. Like when I watch her, I'm always amazed at how good she is at just setting the foundation for whatever match she's having against whatever opponent she's having. And I thought this match was great. I thought Starlight Kid and Natsupoi also did a good job kind of teasing a potential wonder match somewhere down the line. I do think Starlight Kid should be the number one person in the conversation to take that title from Natsupoi down the line. So that was cool to see. Rion also joined, or officially got invited and joined EXV as expected via Micah after her match with her. Crowd was really hot for that one. Obviously, Rion in her hometown. So that was a fun match as well. Then they were in the Sendai Pit on Saturday. Not too much to take away from this show, but let's kind of continue with the Hazuki thing. I talked about it last week. I'll continue talking about it this week. Now she is getting closer to getting better, but we will talk about kind of where we could see that go this weekend as she is set in a big match at the Cork and Hall show. I thought the preview tag, Tam and Poi versus Tekla and Suzu, didn't have the same overall greatness, I think, that the Meltier Starlight Kid Suzu match had, which I kind of expected. But I did think Tekla and Poi meshed well enough. You know, I'm not high on Tekla this year. I think her work has taken an incredible hit since turning heel. But I think Poi is the right person to get it out of her. And I say that because of their history more than anything else. I think if Tekla avoids leaning on the aspect of hate and leaning on those tropes that are kind of boring, tacky, this match can be very good, if not great, next weekend. So those were my takeaways from those shows. On the Sunday show, Tam, Natsupoi, and Sarah successfully defended the Artists of Stardom Championships. Not a real surprise there. They defeated Natsuko Torosai, Kawatani, and Ruaka. I guess the big shock of that match is Sarah pinned Saya Kawatani. They had traded some wins over one another. They seem to be setting up a singles match, presumably, at the next big pay-per-view next weekend. I don't know for sure. That card is still not announced. I'm going to guess we have to wait till after the Corkin to see what that full lineup looks like. But that has been kind of the story there. Sayori and Saya look kind of on their path. Obviously, I think it's clear Saya Kamatani is gearing up for a potential World of Stardom Championship title challenge at Stardom Dream Queendom later this year. So her going at Sayori one-on-one lines up. This is also the final Stardom-only pay-per-view until Queendom. I don't know if that's people recognize that. They might have one more. I know they have a historic crossover, but let me just double-check here. I know that we are coming up on kind of the we're nearing the end here of big shows for now. I think they're on a long tour from the 26th, from the 19th to the 30th. So they're heading into Tag League, obviously. So they may toss something onto the Tag League final. But this is the last major show ahead of that. And then they have historic crossover in November. So we could be seeing how that turns out. They'll probably load up the tag league final, considering they did with Tam and Natsuko at the five-star final. You would at least hope so. So that does present another chance for Tam to defend against someone, I guess. So it's Natsuko and so on. So that is the major key there. And then on Monday, they just had a normal house show. So not too much to dive into there. However, most of our talking points for Stardom this week look at their Korakuen this week, which of course is the big announcement that Toni Storm will be over 1 week early to do a preview tag against Mayu Iwatani. So here is your lineup for Saturday at Korakuen Hall. We'll be live on Stardom World. You have Natsupo, Yuna Mizumori, and Aya Sakura versus Konami, Rina, and Azusa Naba. Momokogo versus Hanako, Micah, Zena, Waka Tsukiyama, and Ryan versus Su Suzuki, Mei Sarah, Starlight Kid, and Miyu Amasaki versus Tomoki Inaba, Hina, Lady C, and Rana Yagami. Tam, Sayori, and Sayaka Karara team up to face Natsuko Tora, Saya Kamatani, and Ruaka. And then this is where the big three matches happen, the main conversation point here today. We have Stars versus Stars. Suzuki teams with Hanan to face Saya, Ida, and Koguma. I'm sure we're going to get some fallout from the past week of story, right? Suzuki being depressed and trying to figure things out. She's talked about how Mike has helped her and how Starlight Kid offered to help her. So we seem to be going in different directions here of what could potentially be the future for Suzuki. But that match should be great at the very least. I'm always in for Stars versus Stars because they always deliver.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Then your semi-main event, as I mentioned, will be Mayu Iwatani teaming up with Azumi to face Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa. All Stardom connection here, right? Azumi wrestled in Stardom. Mina is featured in Stardom. She was just on AEW Dynamite's Grand Slam edition this week. And her teaming with Toni does kind of play to the Mariah May story that is going on. So that'll be interesting. But this, of course, will be a first chance to see Mayu and Toni Storm. I do still believe Toni is on her way to winning the IWGP Women's title from Mayu Iwatani, but that remains to be seen, of course. And then Momo Watanabe and Tekla defend the Goddesses of Stardom Championships against Shuri and Saki Kashima, which should be a fun match. I'm hoping for new champions just because I want Shuri to be doing something. But I'm going to guess Momo and Tekla get the successful defense there. That is it this week for Stardom. Not too much. Now I want to give my review of the Queen of Villains Netflix series. This is a series that I was beyond excited to watch. And some of the reason was due to my knowledge of the happenings of the era there. Of course, dedicating the show to, right, with Dump Matsumoto, Chigusa Nagayo, Lioness Asuka, Bull Nakano. Like, the list goes on and on and on and on of who they talk about and who they highlight. And, you know, Jackie Sato. And my appreciation for these wrestlers was at one level, and yet I walk away from this show, from this series, appreciating them, the era, the matches, the fandom, and the love and admiration so much more. So much more, to the point that I am now obsessed with this. I am obsessed with this era. I have saved so many matches, read so many things. I am going down the deepest rabbit hole possible because I want to now watch everything, witness everything, because while this story, you know, that was projected into a bigger, larger than life aspect in some ways, while holding a lot of truth along the way, it made me want to know everything, want to learn everything, want to watch everything. And I think that's the best thing this show could do. As I said earlier, Joshi Rewind, that is what I am bringing to my YouTube channel, because I am making a spreadsheet of matches from Jackie Sato to the end of AJW that will have all these matches with all these incredible wrestlers that I want to witness and watch for myself in order, and just do what I did for when I got into Stardom. I got into Stardom by doing that, going through the history. And obviously, All Japan Women's has so much history, but it's something that I just want to dive into. I'm left not wanting to do anything else. It's been my obsession since I started watching this show, and now that I've ended this show. But let me talk about the show itself. It was incredible. Five episodes in some ways wasn't enough because I just wanted more. But at the same time, it was. You know, the aspects of seeing Devil Masami in there, and, you know, seeing how Dump Matsumoto goes from Kaoru Matsumoto to Dump Matsumoto. And obviously, there are some things changed up in there. She wasn't actually this angry human in real life, but it works better for the show, right? And seeing her and Chigusa Nagayo and the friendship turn into this heated, unbelievable rivalry that was the prime time of Joshi, of women's wrestling. This is the greatness that you watch, and you and I'm watching this show and I'm just sitting here, I'm like, this was real. Yes, again, some of it is projected, some of it is, you know, the lines are blurred and so on, but it doesn't matter because they're basing this off of a true characters, true story. And it's awesome. It's just so awesome. You know, you learn and you witness the Matsunaga brothers being as you have always read and heard. Like, that was as true to form. You see just them build to this moment in episode 5, folks. Like, this is one of the greatest episodes of TV I've ever watched. It brought every emotion out. That hair versus hair match where, you know, they have Matsumoto agree to lose, and it goes so far, and you see her family get emotional, right? You see the fans get emotional. Linus Asuka, who, you know, they showed the confliction between the Crush gals and everything that was going on there, and yet as she watched Nagayo suffer in the middle of that ring, she couldn't help but throw in the towel for her and try to save her, right? It was somehow so perfectly able to execute the emotion and the scariness of a hair versus hair match in Joshi. To me, that is like the top stipulation match in wrestling, because there is so much emotion that goes into it, right? That emotion of Nagayo feeling ashamed and not wanting to be in public. That is, you know, that's a real feeling. We've seen it through the years. These two just happened to nail it, right? The bloody war between these two and just the emotions that poured out of these people and coming together and seeing Jackie Sato step back into the ring. Like, the one of my favorite parts is just highlighting Jackie Sato, highlighting the beauty pair, Maki Ueda. Like, Jackie Sato is so fascinating to me. Like, that is someone who was so special, right? And set the stage for the many, many, many greats that we see through the years into today. Man, I just love this show. I just love Joshi Wrestling, and it's because of things like this. It's a beautiful show. It really is. It's a beautiful show. It looks so good. The actresses and actors were incredible. I thought the actress that played Dump, the actress that played Chigusa, they were unbelievable. They were so good in their roles, especially. And seeing like someone like Maria in there, I saw Takumi Aroha, you know, pictured once. Like, just these little things of seeing current wrestling stars who, you know, helped train these, you know, these actors and actresses to get ready for these roles. It was awesome. And seeing this and witnessing this and watching this, I'm just grateful that it exists, really. Like, that was my biggest takeaway. It's like, I can't believe something like this exists, but I'm so grateful it does. It's something that, it doesn't matter if you are a wrestling fan or not. Forget if you're a Joshi fan or not, if you're a wrestling fan or not. This is a show I would show anyone, because you can feel the emotion, you can feel the growth, right? This is a drama, this is a TV show to its core that is based on a true story. But at the same time, you could believe that this is just a story made up, because that's the beauty of pro wrestling. That's the beauty of Joshi, and watching Nagayo and the Crush Gals change the game. And the Crush Gals are incredible. I am obsessed. Like I said, I am obsessed. I want to watch so much Crush Gals and so much of what they did. And just, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable show. Like I said, the fifth episode is one of the best episodes of TV I've ever watched. And I'm just so grateful this exists. I love, love, love the Queen of Villains. Everyone should go watch it. I watched it in Japanese with English subtitles. But if there's anything that you should go out of your way to do from wrestling this week, right? I review the Marigold show. I review the Stardom. You know, I'm going to talk about more. Go out of your way to watch this. You will not regret it. It is truly fantastic. And it's just, it embodied my love for wrestling all over again. Listen, I've been down and out sometimes lately, you know. Things don't always go your way, but when you watch a show like this and you're reminded of the beauty and greatness and fun of pro wrestling through the emotions and the agony at times and the excitement and the atmosphere and the aura of these wrestlers through a TV show. Again, watching the real thing is obviously very different, but it has sent me down a path that I can't wait to jump into. Like I said, if you want to join me on that path, you can follow me on YouTube, subscribe, youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. I promise it's going to be worth it, because it's just going to be me doing this, having fun, witnessing this as time goes on. I'm going into this fresh for the most part. I've watched matches here and there, but trying to watch and trying to witness, trying to appreciate what these wrestlers bring, and, you know, having a backstory, even if some of this is not all true, a lot of it is. And it's authentic. It's an authentic showing of pro wrestling, showing of Japanese wrestling, showing of Joshi that I'm so grateful for, and highlighting so many of the most incredible wrestlers in history. Number of Observer Hall of Famers, just throughout this show. It's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy that I got to watch it. I hope everyone else watches it. And it's as good as anything I've watched this year, truthfully. And I watch a lot of TV. I watch a lot of movies. But this hit home in the right ways. This is the Netflix series you go out of your way to watch. I took my time. It's why I took so long. It's why I didn't talk about it really until this show. And like one tweet. I took my time because I want to go down that rabbit hole, but I got to get through, you know, the tournaments with Marigold and Stardom and everything. Once that's done, I'm going into that and I'm losing myself in it and I can't wait. So thank you, everyone. And let's continue on with the show, shall we? And then we will close up shop here today. We're going to talk about Wrestle Princess 5 and preview the big weekend for Sendai Girls, because Mako Satomura is back, finally, for the first time since... Oh, when's the last time she was in Sendai Girls? Well, I mean, she's always there, but when's the last time she wrestled? She hasn't wrestled in Sendai Girls since 2021. Teaming with Minoru Suzuki against Junsei Shinzaki and Nanai Takahashi. I remember watching that match. Well worth going out of your way to watch this show this weekend. But before we get there, let's talk about TJPW Wrestle Princess 5. I watched most of the show, but we'll talk about the top five here. So Emi Sakura versus Shoko Nakajima, I thought was the third best match of the show. I am not the biggest fan of Shoko Nakajima. I continuously bring that up on this show. However, I thought these two clicked very well. I think Shoko is good at showing out on the biggest stage, especially when she has an opponent like an Emi Sakura. So that was really well done. You know, no surprises, I think, in terms of how this match went. You know, Emi Sakura, again, such a incredible competitor, no matter the age, and her winning over Shoko Nakajima is not a shock. I wouldn't be shocked if she eventually gets a title match in this promotion, just because of her continued involvement. And then we saw Mizuki team up with the former Xia Li, now going by Xia Zhao. They defeated Venny and Yuki Kamifuku. It was cool to see Xia Li in a different atmosphere. I haven't seen her since she left WWE, but I think you continue to bring her over. I think she could be a lot of fun in the Joshi scene. I think she's very talented, obviously. Seeing her in there with like someone like Venny was really, really cool. Xia Li isn't leaving. I believe she has a title match in 2 weeks. If I remember correctly, at the Cork and Hall show, which is a match I actually think she probably might win. Let me double check here. They have a Cork and Hall show. All Rise. Yeah, it is a title for the Queen of Asia and VPW Women's Double Championship match. It'll be Yuki Kamifuku versus Xia Zhao. Xia Zhao pinned Yuki Kamifuku in the match. Also, Rio Mizunami versus Risa Endo on the show. And of course, your mega main event, which was announced on Wrestle Princess. Miyu Watanabe teams up with Miyu Yamashita to face Shoko Nakajima and the aforementioned Mako Satomura, which is really, really awesome. Looking forward to that. Yuki Rai defeated Moka Miyamoto to successfully defend the International Princess Championship. I did not enjoy this match. I've liked Yuki Rai in the past. I've talked up Yuki Rai in the past. You know, I think I've done my best to really, really, you know, pay the most respect possible to her as a competitor. That being said, this, you know, she's better when she's in there with more experienced competitors. And this was one of those times that she just, you know, wasn't. Her and Mocha, obviously, you know, putting Mocha in this big role is what you ask of from TJPW, right? You want to see those young talents in these matches, but you also want them to live up to the level. And I don't think that was the case here. I'm not sure who beats Yuki Rai for this title. Maybe Nemi Sakura, maybe Zayazao if she comes back. But right now, you know, you keep it on Yuki Arai, you keep pushing forward. And yeah, the semi-main event, Daisy Monkey, Suzume and Risa Endo defending the Princess Tag Team titles against 1-2 of Millions, Maki Ito, and Miyu Yamashita. This was my match of the night. I thought this was great. Like, the you know, we talk about tag teams of the year, and I think, like, it's been Joshi this year. Like, yeah, sure, the Young Bucks have had some great matches, but the consistency is off the charts. And after this match, I now have Daisy Monkey in the conversation of my top five tag teams of the year, which have been FWC, Wingory, Crazy Star, Best Friends, and Team 200 Kilograms. I think they joined the conversation after this match in terms of just consistency and what they bring to the table. I think there's a respect level to what Suzume and Arisu Endo have put together. And I am, and I've said this before, and I will say it again, Arisu Endo is the best wrestler in TJPW. I'm not going to hide that. I really do think that's the case. I think not only is she the best wrestler in TJPW, but most consistent, most exciting. I just think she connects maybe with my preferences more than anyone, but her and Miyu Yamashita freaking killed it here. They were the final stretch, and it made for such exciting, exciting professional wrestling. It was the best professional wrestling, I think, from this show. She just went in there. She didn't back down. And that's really important when you face the Yamashitas and of the world, right? Especially in TJPW. Do you stand up? Do you level up or do you back down? She didn't back down whatsoever. She went in there and she delivered. Hard forearms, trading back and forth. Ultimately, in the end, she lost to the Crash Rabbit Heat knee from Yamashita. And I think that's my one complaint about the show. My major complaint about the show. Daisy Monkey should have won. They could have beaten Ito or Yamashita, but that was not the case. And I know they're heading to the U.S. Towards the end of the year, so that's probably a reason they want them to main event. And also, you know, ticket sales aren't great necessarily. Like, this Wrestle Princess show was around the 700s. But, you know, again, I don't really care about ticket sales. As long as the atmosphere and the wrestling is good, I don't really care. The atmosphere is what matters most to me. I still would have Daisy Monkey win, though, because I think Daisy Monkey are great. Maybe this levels up Suzume, levels up Arisu Endo now that they're out of the tag hunt. That's cool with me as well, but match was great. Well worth going out of your way to see. And then there was Miyu Watanabe defending the Princess Tag, the Princess of Princess Championship against Rhea Mizunami. Thought this match was great as well. This was about Miyu Watanabe overcoming Rio Mizunami, which is no easy feat, right? That is kind of one of the most difficult things in anyone has had to do in TJPW over the last few years. Rio Mizunami has never lost, never been pinned in TJPW since coming in and facing Miyu Watanabe and facing all the young talent and seeing where they're at. And Miyu Watanabe came in with the game plan, and she was going to hit Rio as hard as she could. That was like the main takeaway for me. I am going to hit you as hard as I possibly can and try to chop you down. And that's what the game plan was. And the finish of this match was really exciting. She hits the teardrop. Rio gets up. She's like, oh my God. She hits another teardrop. Rio gets up. She's going to hit a third teardrop to get the win and successfully defend Princess of Princess Championship. This was a great match. I like that they continue to roll with Miyu Watanabe. I know the success hasn't been there again in terms of ticket sales or whatever, but frankly, I do not care. Keep going. Keep riding forward. You know, trust that it'll all pay off in the end. Great back-to-back matches, a good top five I think if you want to check out matches, you check out the Emi Sakura versus Shoko Nakajima match. I think the Xia Li and Mizuki versus Venny and Yuki Kamifuku is good, but especially the last two. Those are the last two you go out of your way to see. Now let's quickly talk about it. Sendai Girls is back with a two shot on Friday and Saturday this week. We'll be watching these shows. We'll be reviewing them. They're both confirmed for Wrestling Universe. So, it's, you know, we got to talk about them, right? So let's talk about it real quick. Here we have Zones versus Yuna. Miyuki Takase teams with Yura Suzuki to face Minami and Ryo Mizunami. And we kick into the big three matches. The Sendai Girls World Champion and a tune-up to the day following. She will face Chi-Chi in one-on-one action. I'm looking forward to that. Stardom's Momo Watanabe and Ruaka head to the Sendai Girls Ring. They will face Dash Chisako and Hiroyo Matsumoto. Worth noting, Momo Watanabe will also be heading to a Diana ring. She'll be going one-on-one with Haruka Umasaki in October, which is very interesting as well. But that tag match should be great. I'm really looking forward to seeing Dash and Momo again after their hardcore match, which was excellent. Seems like this is a rivalry they're quietly creating, so should be awesome. And then in your main event, Bobo Momo Banana, Yuriko Oka, and Mio Momo look to defend the Sendai Girls tag team titles against Team 200 Kilograms. If you've seen the poster for the show, you know it's iconic. It's incredible. It's not going to be easy, though, folks. I'm not feeling great about it. Admittedly, I think Team 200 Kilograms probably taking the belt. But it should be an awesome match. Team 200 Kilograms continues to build their resume as Tag Team of the Year. I'm still going back through the Sendai Girls clips from earlier this year, but they've had such a sensational year. I have no problem with them winning back the belts if that's what they want to do. And then on Saturday, they're back in Fukuoka. You have Chi-Chi versus Yuna. Zones versus Hiroyo Matsumoto, which should be pretty good. Dash Chisako teams with Ryo Mizunami against Venny and Yurika Oka. That should be really good. And then the grand return of Mako Satomura. She teams with Minami to take on Team 200 Kilograms. That's going to be awesome. Just awesome. I can't wait for that match. And then your main event, the Sendai Girls World Championship is on the line. Miko Wada defends against her Red Energy partner, Miyuki Takase. So that is that. I'll be back next week to review all of that. I can't wait. I think Joshi is doing good right now. And I especially think it is absolutely loaded. You know, there's so much to look forward to next week, review-wise and so on. Like, there is so much to be excited about, right? We have such incredible things going on. You have the Dream Star Grand Prix, you have Stardom Korakuen. Stardom also has new blood this weekend. Rina defends the title against Aya Sakura. I meant to talk about that earlier. Then Miyu Amasaki and Hina go head-to-head. Soy from Evo Girls is even on the show, which I'll review that next week as well. And you have two Sendai Girls shows. Like, those right now, those are the top three Joshi promotions for me. I think if you're looking just for the most consistent and best overall wrestling on a show-to-show basis, it's probably Senjo right now. I'm thinking about writing an article about Senjo because I think things are just incredible for them right now. The wrestling's awesome. And obviously, we're gearing up for Mako's retirement tour. So, it's a good time. It's a good time. So I'm looking forward to I'll be back next week to review the two Senjo shows, Stardom twice, Marigold's final. But more than any of that, make sure you go watch the Queen of Villains, hopefully, if you haven't already. And if you did, maybe just go watch it again. Or you can, of course, subscribe to youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. And you'll watch me go down my rabbit hole of legendary matches featuring Linus Asuka, Chigusa Nagayo, Don Matsumoto, Devil Masami, and so on and so forth. That's what I'm really looking forward to here. So thank you everyone for listening. Can't wait to come back next week and talk about all this. But for now, I wish you goodbye. So long, and thank you for listening. See ya.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.